Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday, we talk sports, and we are happy to have you with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. You know, I've got to ask this question, and I'm not sure if you have the answer, but if you do, I would love to hear from you. Why is it that these short work weeks feel longer than a regular five-day work week? Like, if you had Monday off for New Year's Day, you only had the four-day work week, right? Why is it these weeks feel even longer? Like, they're shorter. Like, do we need to get, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson or something in here to explain this whole thing? Do we try to cram 5 days of work into four? Do we just kind of let our guard down because we realize, well, there's only 4 days in the week? I don't understand what it is. I don't know what it is. Sometimes these shorter work weeks just feel pretty rough. Not sure if you're feeling that right now, but if you are, we understand. Never fear. If you are listening to The Daily Dose during your work week, we will do our best to keep you entertained at your job while you listen. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, and we would love to hear from you, feel free to hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or head over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us over there. That handle is at dailydosesports. We would love to interact with you. Today on the show, we are actually going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show who is insanely excited about the NFL playoffs. And when you hear who it is, if you are a longtime listener, when you hear who it is, you're not going to be surprised one single bit. We will get his thoughts on the NFL playoffs and how he thinks the wild card round this weekend is going to go. You know, I have a feeling, just a feeling, I might already know one of his picks coming up this weekend. Plus, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You know, and I have a sneaking suspicion it might be NFL flavored today. And of course, we'll be looking at anything else that might be coming out in the world of sports. Okay, so we have just one single college football bowl game remaining this year. It's depressing to me. Maybe that's just me, but it's depressing to me. I love college football. I love when the season gets cranked up. We have those early out-of-conference matchups. Like, I love college football. But on Monday, Alabama will face Georgia for the national championship, and that's it. That's it. That's all. That's all the college football we have. And we have seen it all in this college bowl season, haven't we? We've seen upsets. We've seen last-second finishes. We've seen big performances. We even finally, haven't seen it in a while, we even finally saw a close playoff game on Monday night as Georgia edged out Oklahoma in double overtime. Pretty amazing. And as great as all of that was, and as fun as college football was this year, it doesn't hold a candle to what I'm about to tell you. Because prior to the bowl season, we invited anyone who wanted to join us over at ESPN for the Capital One Bowl Mania Challenge, and we created a Daily Dose group to see who could make the best picks. And we have at least the top five for now. Like I said, there's one game left. We have that top five right now. Are you ready for this? I'm going to take a look at this with just one game remaining. Wow, these standings are close. You know, everyone is within about 30 points of each other. I guess even top five, top six, and there are still 40 points out there possibly that you could earn. Here are the standings right now. We have in first place, man, Big Rob is still in first place. I'm telling you, I don't want to go all conspiracy theory. I don't want to go all chemtrails and Bigfoot sightings, but Big Rob is still in first place. Yeah, you know, Big Rob set this up. Starting to get real suspicious about what's going on here with Big Rob. Number two, we have EJ's Perfect Picks, and he is not far behind first place. EJ's Perfect Picks coming in at number two. Yours truly is sitting in third place. Not sure I can hold on to that spot, but right now I'm sitting in third. At number four, we have OK. OK's coming in at four. And at number five, who do we have? Number five, we have Mrs. Daily Dose at number five. Hold on. Mrs. Dose is in our top five of our bowl pick'em. I don't even know if she watches college football. Are you, Rob, what are you doing to me here, man? This feels fixed. What is really going on? How is Mrs. Dose in the top five? You know, like I said, we've only got about 30 points between the top five or six spots. There's still about 40, 41 points out there available. We will be announcing, Rob, if Mrs. Dose wins this and she comes on the show and is going to talk college football, I'm telling you, it's going to be a misunderstanding. You know what? We will be making sure to update you next week after the big game and let you know who wins. We are hoping that whoever wins will come on the show and discuss, you know, maybe why they made some of their picks or some of the best picks they made, some things like that. So we'll see. But again, as great as this college football season has been, holds nothing compared to what we've got going in our Daily Dose Pick'em group for the college bowl games. Just kind of keep that in mind. Not sure if you saw these things coming out. It looks like quarterback Carson Palmer has said it's career. He's retiring. He sent out a letter to all the fans of his, Arizona fans in general. I'm retiring, giving up. You know, Carson Palmer, and I know this is a guy that when you think back, you'll never think of Carson Palmer as being one of the greats. I will say this. Physically, Carson Palmer could make every throw. When he was in his prime, he could make every throw. And I'm not a huge Carson Palmer guy, but I'm just saying, physically as gifted as I've ever seen. He is giving it up and calling it a career. And also, there is at least a report out there that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to sign head coach Marvin Lewis to a 2-year contract through the 2019 season. I guess, I don't know. Marvin Lewis, I mean, if you want to finish like 9-7, he's your guy, right? I'm just going to throw this out there and take this for whatever it's worth. Find someone in your life that loves you as much as the Bengals love Marvin Lewis for no reason whatsoever. Like, I can't figure it out. I don't know why. I don't know why they love him so much, but they do. You need to find that person. Hey, coming back, we will be joined by a longtime friend of the show that is pretty excited about the upcoming NFL playoffs. And if you know this guy, you already know why. As promised, joining us right now on the Daily Dose, you know, this guy has been calling into the show since back in the old radio days, and I can't even fathom how excited he must be right now as his Buffalo Bills made the playoffs for the first time since Doug Flutie. Raymond in DC, how are you feeling now that your beloved Bills have ended their playoff drought?
Well, Happy New Year. First, let me say Happy New Year to
everybody. Yes, Happy New Year to you.
It is just an awesome feeling. I'm still on cloud nine from the game. We're in the dance, and you know, when the Bills make the playoffs, we generally go to the Super Bowl. So well, I'm really excited.
Well, you haven't been in the playoffs for a long time, so we're not really sure about that. Now, Raymond, to give listeners an idea of the pain that you suffer with that godforsaken franchise of yours, you have in the past, you've had some very dangerous reactions when the Bills have lost big games. Like, dangerous to you as a person. You've done some things in the past when you get upset with your Bills. They're a little bit dangerous, haven't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, our last playoff appearance.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
The Music City debacle.
Right.
I did try to end it all after that game. Yeah. I had begun celebrating, and I placed the hammer at the bottom of the stairs, and I did attempt to jump on it.
Wait, you placed a hammer?
It was the only thing I could find. I placed it at the bottom of these steps, and I attempted to jump in the air and land on it. My friends stopped me. I wanted to end it all. So, this is a very tough. This was our last playoff appearance. I remember it very well.
Wow. Yeah. You're taking this pretty seriously. Okay, now we had you on the show like at the halfway point of the NFL season, back in maybe late October, early November, something like that. And the Bills went through a bit of a rough patch at that point. The Bills lost to the Jets, the Saints, and the Chargers consecutively. They were sitting at 5-5. Were you starting to lose any hope at that point that you'd make the postseason?
Well, my first year coach, Sean McDermott, he has this thing about trusting the process. It did get tough, but those past Bill teams, even over the past 17 years, we generally start off well, and then we go into these lulls, and we're never able to get out of them. But this year, yeah, we lost those three games in a row, and Sean McDermott, he righted the ship. I got to give him all the credit. He really he kept us from sinking, from having an 8-game losing streak like the Broncos, I think they.
Wow.
So I love the guy.
On Sunday, the Buffalo Bills had to beat the Miami Dolphins in Miami, and then they needed help.
Well, what we needed to happen was we needed a Tennessee loss and a Chargers loss, or a Raven loss. That's what we needed. So it was. I was pretty sure that the Chargers were going to beat San Diego. I wasn't confident that Jacksonville, I knew they were resting a lot of their starters, and I wasn't confident that they would beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens, I had pretty much figured that they would beat Cincinnati. So, you know, it looked pretty dreadful. The only thing I knew on Sunday was that we were going to beat the Dolphins.
You didn't have any doubts about that? You felt good about that?
No. I knew that we would hold up our end of the bargain and beat the Dolphins, but I just didn't know about those other scenarios at all. I just didn't know. So I didn't even watch the last few minutes of my game because I knew it was a wrap.
So you weren't really paying attention much to the Tennessee-Jacksonville game or to the Chargers-Raiders game?
No. I was not. The Chargers Raiders game, it was already, that was a blowout. The Tennessee game, that one ended early because all they do is run the ball.
Right.
Both of the teams just run the ball. So that game ended probably before my game ended. I think that game was
over.
Yeah,
I think it did.
Yeah, so the only game left was the Bengal game. And I had been flipping back and forth since early in the game when the Bengals, you know, were in the lead early. So I was tuning in, flipping back and forth. And then once my game was, you know, really over with, decided, I really just tuned in specifically to the Bengal game.
Well, and Baltimore fell behind early. They were down at one point 24-10. You have to be thinking at that point, we at least have a shot.
I thought it was a wrap. I didn't, you know, Ravens have really struggled with offense all year. I mean, yeah, they've played a lot better here lately, but I just didn't see Joe Flacco, you know, getting that offense together. But, I mean, they came back and made it difficult. That's for sure.
Yeah, they did. So about halfway through the fourth quarter, the Ravens finally scored. They take the lead. Are you thinking that's it? It's over? I mean, I realize you have blind faith in your Bills. You can't possibly have that much faith in the Cincinnati Bengals, especially this year.
I don't. I'm not a fan of Andy Dalton or the Cincinnati team. I thought Marvin Lewis should have been fired a few years ago.
You heard he just got an extension, it sounds like. They're going to give him another 2 years.
That's shocking.
Right.
So, yeah, I really had no faith in the Bengals. I thought it was another year. Here we go again. I thought we were not going to make it. Yeah, I thought the Ravens were going to come back. Once they got the lead, I thought it was pretty much over. And on top of that, I was watching, and I was looking how Andy Dalton looked terrible.
Yes, he did.
In that second half, the Bengal offense looked bad. So I really had no faith in that squad.
With a little less than 3 minutes to play, the Bengals get the ball. They drive to like midfield, but they're facing a 4th and 12. There's 44 seconds left. What are you thinking on that play going into that 4th and 12?
Well, what I'm thinking is he's thrown 3 hideous passes to plays before. This is what I'm thinking. So I happened to be in Atlanta for New Year's. So okay. I was watching on my phone. I have the Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
Crazy Bill fan. And I was pacing, and he threw that ball, and I lost it. I completely lost my mind. I just screaming. I did a lap. it was really, I completely flipped. I did.
Well, and here is what Raymond is flipping about. Here is a clip from CBS.
Ravens trying to end it here. Down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable. The Cincinnati Bengals have stunned this crowd.
So they score the touchdown. There are still like 40 seconds left in the game. Are you thinking that they can hold on? Like you have to have some faith at this point now because, like you said, Joe Flacco hasn't looked that great either today.
Well, I did. You know, I was screaming hard, but I did have to compose myself because, yeah, there are 40 seconds left. But the Ravens also had 2 timeouts.
Yeah, they did.
So I wasn't sure yet. You know, the Ravens are at home. You know, and if they win, they're in.
Yeah.
So. I needed to see zeros on the clock. You know, I've had some bad things happen. You know, we've needed help before. It's come down to the last game before with my Bills in the 17 years.
Right.
So, I you know, until the clock struck zero, I wasn't convinced.
Yeah, I don't blame you, especially with the things you've gone through. When that clock struck zero, when they finished, it came up short on a 4th down, your reaction was what?
Oh, more screaming.
Are you in a public place at this point? Where were you
no,
at?
I'm at a friend's house. So I was at her house. So she came down to check on me. I was just going crazy. At this point, I'm on my knees. I'm just hollering and screaming. And I'm just thinking back. I just really think back to all the years, the thousands upon thousands of dollars that I've spent. You know, losing, you know, the traveling I've done, the trips to Buffalo, the trips to London. I've been all over the country, all the uniforms I've had, all the ragging that I've taken, all the bull I've taken at the barber. I can't wait to go to the barber shop. Just the madness that I've gone through with this team. It just all came to the forefront. I cried, dude. It was just, I'm a long-suffering fan. And
yes, you are.
This isn't even our best team. This is not the best team we've had in the 17. We have had better teams.
I would agree with that.
And you know, this year, even going into it, you know, when we started giving away players, I was not pleased. I was trying to trust the process, but I wasn't pleased. You know, people thought we were tanking. I didn't think we were tanking. I knew we would play hard, but I wasn't convinced that we were doing the right thing. We got rid of a lot of good players. And, you know, that Sean McDermott, he kept us afloat. You know, I've been through several coaches when we started off so good and been through these lulls. I've seen it happen so many times. It was unbelievable. I still get goosebumps just thinking about it. I haven't had a game in January, and now this weekend, everybody's going to be watching my team.
Right.
And what's so funny is, you know, I live here in D.C., the Redskins, the Ravens are not in it. And all their fans are going to be watching my game this weekend. Not just, oh, that gives me chills. I'm just so happy about that. And even, yes, I'm from Denver. Broncos are at home, too, and they're going to be watching my team this weekend. So, dude, I'm just, oh, there's so many layers to this.
Wow.
And
there's more.
Another thing, there's more. You know, during the 17-year process, one of the coaches that we had, that idiot Doug Marrone, was our coach, and he didn't want to coach us. And now we're going to Jacksonville to play his team, and we're going to put his ass out of the playoffs. I'm just so fired up.
And I'm going to get your picks on the wild card weekend in just 1 second. But here's a question that I have for you. You're a Bills fan. You love the Bills. You don't miss a Bills game. You travel all over. You see the Bills. Here is my question that I have for you. On Sunday, I believe your game is Sunday morning. It's the first game. Are you wearing a Bills jersey? Do you wear a Bills jersey during the game? Are you bringing out the jersey? What do you do?
So I did stop buying Bills jerseys.
I would hope so.
Maybe 5 years ago I stopped. But I bought a Bills jersey with my name on it.
Okay.
And that is the Bills jersey that I wear all the time. And my old jerseys, Bledsoe, my Roscoe Parrish, my Eric Mould, my Willis McGahee.
Oh, my goodness. It's a who's who of who lost in Buffalo.
I have quite a few jerseys.
Wow.
I really don't wear them.
Right.
But this week I am wearing a different jersey every day at work.
Like I said, the reason I wanted to have you on, because I knew your excitement for the Bills getting into the playoffs would be genuine, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it. Okay, so we're going to head into Wild Card Weekend. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you the four games that are in there. I'm going to save your game for last. I have an idea of which way you're going to go on that one, but I'm going to ask you the other four games. First game on Saturday, we've got the Tennessee Titans going to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. Not thrilled with how Tennessee has been playing. What do you see happening on that Saturday game, Tennessee at Kansas City?
I'm jealous. I'm jealous of Tennessee because we went to Kansas City and beat them earlier this year.
Yes, you did.
And I would have loved to go back to Kansas City. Tennessee can't throw the football at all.
No, they can't.
And they can run the ball pretty well, but you got to be able to throw the ball a little bit. Kansas City's going to beat them. Not because Kansas City's playing that great or because they're that good, but Tennessee, I think, is that bad. Tennessee is the worst team in the playoffs.
I would agree with that. Saturday evening, we've got a pretty decent game. We've got the Atlanta Falcons, not quite what they were last year, but they go to L.A. to see the Rams. Do the Rams have fans? I don't know what that stadium's going to look like. Is there going to be anyone there? I have no idea. Who do you see coming out of Falcons versus Rams?
Well, Atlanta, they haven't been throwing the ball. They have the pieces, but they can't seem to throw the ball. Their running game has gotten going, though.
Yeah.
Atlanta is a team all year. I said they need to run the football more. That Freeman is a monster.
Yes, he is.
But, you know, the Rams are just so hot. They're just so hot right now. And I just don't think the Falcons' defense is good enough to keep up. I think the Rams will win this one.
Okay. So you've got Chiefs, you've got Rams. We move on to Sunday. Like I said, I'm going to skip your game. We've got Carolina going to New Orleans. Panthers versus Saints. Who do you like in that one?
You know, Cam looked so bad this past weekend.
Yes, he did.
But Cam has been playing well. But I really think in that dome, luckily for everybody else, they only have one game in that place.
Right.
The Saints are going to roll. The Saints are going to get it going, running the ball, throwing the ball. I don't think this game will be that close.
You don't think so?
No.
You think Cam? You think Cam will just be bad? They, you know, they without Jonathan Stewart, Carolina's offense really looks terrible.
And, you know, and what's so funny about that is he got Greg Olsen back.
Yeah.
And it's just not. I don't know. It's not firing for them.
He can't throw from the pocket though. He needs to be that runner, that guy getting on the edge, and that guy at least making you guess. When they just keep him in the pocket, he just looks like an idiot.
And I think that, you know, the Saints are definitely going to, you know, focus on that. They're going to take his legs away. And, I expect the Saints to. I don't think this game will be that close.
Okay, so we're getting down to the last game. We've got the Buffalo Bills getting in, and they go to the number three Jacksonville Jaguars, 9-7 versus 10-6, Tyrod Taylor versus Blake Bortles. Somehow I think I know how this is going to go, but who do you have coming out of Bills at Jacksonville?
Let me just say, the Jacksonville defense I think is awesome. I really do.
Yeah, they're good.
But I think the strongest part of my Bills team just happens to be our secondary. And I don't see us getting run over. Jacksonville's going to try to run us over, and they're not going to be able to, which means they're going to have to throw the ball. And, I invite Blake Bortles throwing the ball against my defense. I'm looking forward to that. And I think we're going to stop the run, and once Jacksonville starts trying to throw the ball, we're going to see turnover city. So I think those are going to be the keys to our victory. Our offense isn't going to do a whole lot. I think 17 points wins us the game down there.
So let's look forward just a tiny bit. Let's say you somehow beat Jacksonville. You will be going to New England. This season, the Patriots have beaten you twice by a combined score of like 60-19. Like the last 30 times you've played the Patriots, I think you've won four. It's not looking good to go to New England, is it?
Well, we just made playoffs after 17 years, so yep. A lot can happen.
That's true.
So this will be our third time playing them. Our scores have been a bit lopsided, but I think what's missed in that is that, like this last game, they took the touchdown away, and then things kind of imploded from there. The game earlier in Buffalo, you know, it was 9-6, I believe, at halftime, before we were jobbed again with their dirty moves. When Gronkowski, with his dirty play, when we picked Brady off, and he drove his head into a defensive Bill player. They're a dirty team, the damn Patriots are. So, you know, the third time's a charm. You know, we play them for the third time. You know, when you really watch our games against them, they don't do a whole lot. It's just we don't do anything at all. So I think the third time will be the charm.
Okay. You know, Raymond, I'm telling you right now, I'm cheering for you. I am always cheering for new blood in the playoffs, and the Bills haven't been to the playoffs in like 20 years. So, of course, I'm rooting for you. Now, people listening might not realize this, but for a number of seasons, you have been betting me that your Bills, I think, would go undefeated, would go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, but we never bet any money. What is it that you usually bet against me?
I generally bet my life.
Okay. I think you owe me like a lot of lives. Do you feel any kind of a wager coming on with the Bills going to the Super Bowl, winning it, beating Jacksonville, whatever you want to throw out there? I mean, we're open to whatever you want to put up on this.
Well, I think monetary wages are bad luck.
I agree 100%.
So I tend to not bet on my team because I really believe it is bad luck when I do so.
Definitely bad karma. Never bet on your own team.
Yeah, don't bet on my team. I don't bet on my team. Back a long time. I used to bet on my team. I learned it's not a good idea, so I don't do it.
Okay.
With that being said, I think I'm willing to bet my life that, again, that we go to Jacksonville. That's the easy part. And, yeah, that we get by. Well, if we get by the Patriots, there's no doubt that we're going all the way. So winning it all.
You're betting your life that you'll win it all?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. We'll go in there and get it done. Yeah, I'm very confident.
Goodness, I love your confidence. I wish I had half of your confidence in just everyday life.
I know what my team is capable of. I know the type of game that we play.
Yeah.
So that we play the type of game that's going to keep us in every game. We're not throwing a ball over the field. We're going to run the football and play defense. So that's going to keep us in these games. And in the playoffs, in this weather, this is we play a playoff brand of football. So
I want whatever happens. Let's say whatever happens, we'll kind of just keep an eye on the Bills and we'll see what happens. But we need to make sure that we have you back and check in on how your life is going, you know, win or lose, however that goes, just to make sure that you're still alive and kicking. Cause you've thrown your life out there kind of willy nilly. And I just want to make sure that you're okay. So just let me know. We will have you back on the dose as these playoffs progress. Is that fair?
Yeah, that means that we'll be winning. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, hey, and one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, as a longtime Bills fan, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a big-time Bills fan. If you didn't call or text me or some type of way communicate with me about my victory,
yeah,
don't bother. Don't bother ever. Don't bother ever calling me again. So I just wanted to get that out. So.
I texted you as the game ended, I think. I think I hit you right as the game ended.
Yes, and you're a true friend, buddy, and I appreciate that.
Well,
that message was for those that didn't.
I thank you for that. Thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose. You know you are always welcome here, and we look forward to having you back again later in the playoffs.
All right. Go Bills!
Hey, coming back, we will have our Hump Day Daily Dose Power Rankings as the NFL playoffs get started this weekend. Here is a question for you. We know some of the top quarterbacks are not in the postseason. Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Andrew Luck, and of course, Brock Osweiler are going to be watching the playoffs from home. So who are the best quarterbacks that are still in the playoffs? We will check in on that right after this. Just a quick reminder. Make sure that you do any of that post-holiday shopping that you might need to do over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where they have the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I already did my holiday shopping. You know you forgot somebody. If you need to go pick up that hard-to-find gift, head over to Loot Crate. January's Loot Crate theme, it's called Discover, and it features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, just enter Daily Dose in the coupon box at checkout. We'll get you 10% off your order, and you don't have to spend nearly as much. Okay, one thing that we do have to get to this week, we do have to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day rankings. You know, every Wednesday, we try to look at some sort of ranking going on in the world of sports like right now. And you know, we know that the NFL quarterback is one of the toughest and one of the most important positions in all of sports. You have to read, you have to react, you have to make plays in like milliseconds, like monumental decisions in minute fractions of a second. If you have a great quarterback, then you have a chance to have some big success in the postseason. If you have a mid-level quarterback or lower, you better have a really, really good supporting cast around them. Hey, we've seen average quarterbacks win postseason games, right? We've seen the Brad Johnsons, the Mark Rippins, the Trent Dilfers, the Peyton Mannings way past his prime. But we have seen it more often that the big money quarterbacks win the big money games. And so as we head into this NFL playoff season, who are the best rated quarterbacks this year? Now, when I went through these rankings and I tried to find this, I tried to find a realistic stat that kind of tells more than just quarterback rating. Because a lot of quarterback ratings, they don't really tell a full story. And so what we did is we based it on ESPN's total quarterback rating, which was released back in 2011. I have problems with pretty much any quarterback rating system that there is. But what I like about this one is it measures quarterbacks' performance. It incorporates their contributions to winning, how they impact the game on passes, rushing, turnovers, penalties, like on everything. So we went with the ESPN total quarterback rating. And when we did, I was a little bit surprised to see how the 12 quarterbacks that are going to be in the playoffs fared out. So as we look at these rankings, just keep in mind, here are the 12 quarterbacks and how they rank from 12 to 1 that are left going forward into the postseason. Of all the quarterbacks left in the playoffs, who would be number 12? Yeah, that's right. The Eagles, Nick Foles. Nick Foles has 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He has looked indecisive. He has looked panicked. He's a statue back there. He doesn't move very well. His quarterback rating right now, again, overall quarterback rating that we used, 31.4. Not looking great for Nick Foles, especially for a number one seed. Who would be coming in at number 11? Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. You know, he's thrown 22 touchdowns. Not bad. He's also thrown 16 interceptions. That gives him a quarterback rating of 48. Number 10 surprised me. Won't even lie. Number 10 actually kind of shocked me, but when you look at it, I think it's more the result of him having more help around him. He has some other people around him. Number 10, Rams quarterback Jared Goff, who has 28 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions, but quarterback rating not that impressed with him, and maybe that's because he can turn and hand it off to Todd Gurley, and that helps his stats a little bit. Number 9, Buffalo Bills quarterback Tyrod Taylor, who has 14 touchdowns to just 4 interceptions. See what Tyrod Taylor does this weekend. Number 8, we have Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota with a 54.9 ranking. You know, Marcus Mariota has 13 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. Remember last year? The thing with Marcus Mariota, he won't turn it over. He won't turn it over. He's kind of turning it over this year. He's at number 8. Moving on to number 7, we have Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and his quarterback rating is just above 55. Now we start to get into the big dogs. These are the best quarterbacks that we have, at least per this stat, that we have right now in the league going into the playoffs. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees comes in at number 6. And again, I think he's as low as he is because he does have so much help. He hands it to some very, very good running backs. And so, not as much dependent on him. He comes in at a 59.2. Coming in at number 5, we have Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith. Hey, he doesn't turn it over. He only has 5 interceptions compared to 26 touchdowns. Pretty impressive. Number 4, we have Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger with a quarterback rating of just over 63. Ben Roethlisberger has 28 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. He's got some very good wide receivers up there. He's got a very, very good running back in Le'Veon Bell behind him. At number 3, Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan. That kind of surprised me. I really didn't think he'd be that high. He has, on the season, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, a little bit above a 64 quarterback rating. Matt Ryan comes in at number 3. Now, here we get down to the last two. Now, if we're looking at this whole thing, and you might be looking at it and say, man, Jared Goff is too low. I don't know, Blake Bortles is too high, whatever. You might be looking at a number of things. Now, as we get down to these last quarterbacks, you might be hearing these ratings and say, those don't even make sense. Like, they don't even make sense. But if you think of the teams that they're on, and if we were ranking the teams in this way, would you really think they were that far off? Listen to these last two that we have. Number 2 on our list, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who has thrown 32 touchdowns to just 8 interceptions. Tom Brady has had a phenomenal season, but he's not number 1. Who could be number 1 in helping his team win? That's right, at number 1, Minnesota Vikings quarterback Case Keenum has nearly a 70 quarterback rating over Tom Brady's 67. On the season, Keenum has 22 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions, and for whatever reason, this particular rating system really likes Case Keenum. But again, if you looked at it, you forgot the quarterback and you said number 1 power ranking, Vikings, then Patriots, maybe. I don't know how the Falcons would work into that. Then Pittsburgh, then the Chiefs, then the Saints. Yeah, that might make some sense. So when you first hear these ratings, you might think they're way off, and I get it. Tom Brady is the best quarterback in these playoffs. But if I just read you the teams and said, here are the power rankings, Vikings at the top, would you really be that shocked? I'm not a huge stat guy. I go off the eyeball test. But just keep these rankings in mind as we head into the postseason. Do they predict anything? Probably not. But can they tell us who needs some help from their supporting cast? Or who is getting some help from their supporting cast? Yeah, I would say without a doubt that they do. Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we will be discussing the latest sports news. You know, we just might have a few Daily Dose New Year's resolutions tomorrow. And as usual, on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. Have to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing the show, for emailing, for testing us, for interacting with us over on Facebook or Twitter. We really, really do appreciate it. If you would like to contact us, hit us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over at Facebook or Twitter. That handle is at Daily Dose Sports. Have to say thank you to Raymond for stopping by. Always entertaining. And I have to say thank you to JSP because I could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody.